Well, let's have a chat about some viewing that you might like to delve into. James Crute's been doing the research for us. Morning, James.
Morning, Catherine. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm watching one of the things you're recommending here, just started, but tell me, you start off with whichever one you want.
Sure. Well, let's talk about Hillary, which is the documentary series, I guess, four-part, 4 hours. It debuted at Sundance when film festivals were still possible back in January. And it's an amazing kind of, I guess it's mostly a chronological trawl through the backstory of Hillary Rodham Clinton, the woman who would have been America's president at this time had it not been for Donald Trump, I guess. Look, you know, how different might America's response be to what's happening now or anything in the last few years had the events of 2016 turned out differently? I mean, as this documentary is sort of at pains to point out, she's the most admired and the most vilified woman in America. In the sort of extensive interviews that sort of form the basis of which this documentary revolves around, she also describes herself as the most investigated innocent person in America, I guess, between husband Bill's philanderings a long time ago and, you know, her own time as Secretary of State, and then in particular her attempt, her second attempt at running for the White House in 2016. You know, her life has just been poured over in so many ways. And yet, as this documentary sort of shows, there's so much we really don't know about her. You know, she was the daughter, as these Democrats often are, the daughter of a Methodist Republicans. You know, and so she grew up with, you know, all these expectations about what she should and shouldn't do. And then she went to an all-girls college in the US and had a bit of a reputation as being something of a rabble-rouser. But her first sort of claim to notoriety or fame was when she had the sort of American graduation speech as the sort of top-class student and spent sort of diversified from her notes and decided to launch an attack on their guest speaker, who was one of the Republican senators of the time. And it's just, you know, she's just a quite a fascinating kind of person. And this just sort of showcases that kind of thing. I mean, she was part of the legal team that was helping set up Nixon's impeachment. So that was basically her first law job. And so there's a bit on that, and there's also a bit about how she met Bill and how she was fascinated by this man who she says she knew she would never have a dull moment with.
Do we learn, one of the reasons we feel like we don't know her is that you never really feel you can get behind the political figure that there's been all these years. Do we get any more insights along those lines?
Yeah, I think we do. There's a lot of talk about her regrets and also the things that went wrong. I mean, they don't just talk to her. They talk to a lot of the people from her campaign in 2016 and a lot of journalists who covered the entire campaign. And there's a lot of discussion about that whole email server scandal that sort of, you know, lingered for so long. And she sort of tried to ignore it, then tried to address it. And it just kept going, you know, and that's where Trump was able to capitalize on that whole crooked Hillary sort of thing that he went on about for quite a while as well. And, you know, there's a really good quote that one of the staffers comes up with, where he said that voters wanted clean, clear, definitive answers. And he said that Hillary was great. She had a preference for long considered responses, and she would focus on, you know, she would have a think about someone's question and would come up with a considered response based on what was achievable, rather than, I guess, the Bernie Sanders approach in the early part of the Democratic campaign, which was, oh yeah, free education for everyone, you know, and she was expected to sort of match that, and she wouldn't do it. And so there was that kind of thing. But in response, directly responding to your question, yes, I mean, she says the reason why people sort of struggle to get to know her and get sort of caught up in that whole political thing is because she was always raised or she was brought up in that generation, and particularly when she went to law school and the number of women there were relatively few, that the way of getting through was to put your head down and not show emotion. So she says that in her formative years, she was taught all this stuff about not showing emotion, not giving yourself away, and she finds it really hard now to get away from that when everybody wants her to have some kind of emotional response to things or be able to let her guard down.
Well, some people may feel they've had more than enough over the years of Hillary Clinton, but if not, you can find, I'm just stating a fact. If you do want to delve a little deeper, you can find that TVNZ On Demand, four-part doco, and you are rating it by the sounds of it. I don't want to miss out the other two because I'm really interested in both of them. Mrs. America is just underway, Soho 2 and on Neon. This is Cate Blanchett playing another political figure, real-life figure from American history, yeah?
Well, I guess this is the flip side, and I think that's why I wanted to talk about both of them. Now, Cate Blanchett plays... she was a Republican Party campaigner called Phyllis Schlafly. Now, she was kind of the direct response to the likes of Gloria Steinem. So when as part of the women's movement, particularly in the early 70s and late 60s, they had these sort of equal rights acts and things like that they were trying to push through Congress, and all the male politicians were kind of getting on board with this. But she sort of was a significant figure in the opposition to equal rights amendment. I mean, initially, and the fascinating thing about Schlafly was she was like a nuclear arms expert. She was known within America, within particular circles, but I guess not the wider public, for being probably the top expert on national security within the country. Of course, the men wouldn't sort of give her that credit. And when it came to the political side of things, they would, if she was the only woman in the meeting, she'd end up having to play secretary. But initially, she wasn't interested in the whole women's rights thing until it became a sort of sticking point in terms of her wanting to progress her own political career, where it was sort of suggested to her, well, you need to, you need to be a spokesperson on women's rights one way or the other in order to get elected. All her sort of high society friends were worried about equal rights because they were concerned that that would mean that their young woman would end up having to go to Vietnam, or that they wouldn't be able to get palimony anymore. So there were all these kind of weird sort of fears, almost like fake news. It's funny how this feels almost relevant today, even though it was sort of 40, almost 50 years ago. Look, this is one of those kind of beautifully costumed, brilliant production designed shows. It's got a terrific cast, as well as Blanchett. It's got people like Margot Martindale. It's got John Slattery. It's got Elizabeth Banks. Even Tracy Ullman as well. It's just a well put together. If you really like things like Mad Men, I guess, in some ways, but also things like The Americans, they're sort of US period dramas where there's as much attention to the script as there is to the other sides of the production, then you'll definitely love this.
That's the one I've started on, and I'm going to start on the one you're introducing now, Bad Education, which is Soho 2 and Neon. Has it started yet? This is the Hugh Jackman.
So this is a one-off. This is actually a film that debuted at the Toronto International Film Festival, and it's another one that's based on real-life events. And it's, I guess, the most spectacular educational fraud in US history. And it's all about a guy called Frank A. Tassoni, who was a charismatic sort of district superintendent who had taken this Roslyn Heights school district to sort of, up the charts in New York. And, of course, that meant that all the property values were up, so the school board loved him. And, everybody, he just seemed to be able to get things done. But what people sort of didn't know was that he and his offsider, who's played brilliantly by Alison Janney in this, were actually doing a little bit of dodgy bookkeeping. And there was a bit of double life and triple life going on. Look, I don't want to say too much because the brilliance of this is in all the little details and how the layers unfold as one of the high school students there starts doing some digging after he encourages her that she should, if she wants to be a real journalist, well, she can turn any assignment into a story. So she's originally doing a puff piece about a new
initiative that's going on at the school, but then she starts doing some digging into the accounts and finds things are rather rotten, to say the least.
So it sounds like you are recommending three
goodies.
Yes,
definitely. Yep. Fabulous.
Thanks very, very much, James Crute, with what he has been viewing. And I'll just recap those for you quickly. Hillary is TVNZ On Demand. Mrs. America you'll find on Soho Channel 2 or on Neon. Bad Education is on Soho 2 or on Neon as well.